ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सदाशिव समारंभां व्यास शंकर मध्यमां वहै ओम शांति शांति शांति। We have come to in an interesting portion again, where actually Lord Yama answers the question asked by Nachiketa in the first chapter, in the first section. Nachiketa asked Lord Yama the questions. When Nachiketa denied everything that Lord Yama offered, he specifically wanted an answer for these two questions. He wanted to know the nature of death. What exactly is death? What happens to the individual after the death? So, journey of the individual after death. Life after death. He wanted to know about the life after death. Then he wanted to know the truth, accomplishing which the real goal becomes accomplished in life. So Lord Yama answers those two questions actually now. So yesterday we saw the mantra. The seventh mantra. The sixth mantra. Where Lord Yama promised, Idam Guhyam Sanataram Brahma Pravakshyami. Now I'm going to teach you the absolute reality, the secret. The reality itself is a secret because reality is the subtlest. There's nothing subtler than the reality. Subtler than the reality implied by the term Brahma. Nothing greater than the reality which implied by the term Brahma. It is the reality which has to be discovered. It is Brahma which has to be understood and which is timeless. Because it is a subtlest, it is not easily comprehensible. That Brahma I am going to teach you, he said. Then, he also said that he would make it very clear the life after death of an individual. Maranam prapya atma yatha bhavati. I shall explain to you exactly what happens to the jiva. How jiva survives death. He continues to be there, life after life after life. And I'll explain that he promised in the sixth mantra. So now we are going to see the seventh mantra. Before I enter into the seventh mantra, I want to make one thing very clear. This word samhata. Samhatihi is a noun. Samhatihi. It is strilinga shabda, it's a noun which means assemblage. Samhata means assembled, put together. So body is an assembled samhatam. Body comes under the category of the samhatam. So the mind, the subtle aspects, all subtle aspects which serve as instruments of perception and actions, all physiological functions, they all put together exactly how they should be. In Pujya Swamiji's language, intelligently put together, assembled together. So all these subtle aspects, antahkaranam, otherwise it would be manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha, physiological functions. One vital are governing these functions. Then 10 subtle powers which serve as instruments of knowledge and instruments of actions. All subtle aspects and the physical body, all of them come under the category of the samhatam, assembled together, forming an assemblage. So, an individual being is a composite of all these different aspects. This is samhatihi, assemblage of all these things. Every individual is an assemblage, samhati, is of all these things. But all these things have life, contribute for enjoyment of life, enjoyment of the world, external world, and involving themselves in their own respective functions because of the blessing of the Atma, which is absolutely distinct from all these material, subtle and gross material aspects. That Atma is the subtlest, which is of the nature of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. And so, Atma is said to be asamhataha. Asamhataha Atma means Atma does not come under the category of any of the assembled part of the assemblage. Atma is distinct. Without the blessing of this asamhata Atma, the samhatam body, mind, and complex cannot even have the status of being existent, cannot become conscious, sentient, cannot become alive, cannot have life, cannot be functional. This is what we need to understand. And it is this anahataha, asamhataha atma, not anahataha, asamhataha atma. The atma, the subtlest, abstract, all-pervasive reality, the truth of the entire jagat, obtaining as the innermost essence, the very content of I, the surupam of the experiencer knower, implied by the term Atma or Brahma, is going to be discussed in the following mantra. We'll see that. Okay. Now what are we going to see in the seventh mantra? Lord Yama is going to answer Nachiketa's question about life after death. So as long as ignorance of the self is, which is nothing but ignorance of the truth of the universe. The truth of the universe has to be discovered, can be discovered only as the truth of the individual, as one's own self, as a group of the knower, I. As long as a person remains ignorant of one's own self, as long as a human being remains only a person of partial knowledge, there will be continuity of this life. Continuity of the life means what I'm saying, the continuity of samsara. Every human being is naturally blessed with the partial knowledge of existence of one's own self in terms of I am. Animals do not have this knowledge. Therefore, animals remain steeped in total ignorance, not being eligible to discover their own self. No animal is capable of discovering the truth because animal does not even have the knowledge of self-existence. Therefore, animal is not eligible to discover the self. One must know one's own existence. Only then one can discover what oneself is. I should know I am to know what I am. So it's a blessing. A human being is specially blessed that he alone is eligible to discover the truth. Therefore, he alone is eligible to attain moksha, discover moksha. But the human being, the animals, not having this knowledge, they are blessed in other ways. They cannot have any identity at all. the human being who is blessed enough to be able to discover himself, because of his partial knowledge, it is possible for him to have a wrong identity. That's why the matter said to err is human. It is possible for them to have wrong identity because of this half knowledge. And samsara is nothing but what one goes throughout life and life after life, purely because of the wrong identity and because of this partial knowledge. Is partial knowledge bad? No, it's a blessing. Why it is blessing? Because you are eligible to have you convert your half knowledge into total knowledge. But it's partial ignorance is the not knowing what I am is the cause for erroneous self, wrong identity. And the wrong identity caused the problems in terms of samsara. Therefore, human being is blessed. We understand that. But because of this, as long as a person remains ignorant of what I am, what exactly this I is, and helplessly he has wrong perception of the self and wrong identity with the anatma, the non-self, and helplessly again, because of the superimposition of limitations and the problems and dharmas of non-self upon the self, having wrong self-image, having wrong notions about the self, how helplessly he becomes the victim of samsara. We understood from our introductory classes itself. So, birth is inevitable, death is inevitable. We know this well. Jatasya hi jatasya maranam dhruvam. And mrutasya janma dhruvam. For a person who is dead, birth is definite as well. It is apariharya artha. This unchangeable fact, matter. Unchangeable fact. Yes. But who is this one who is born and who is the one who really dies? Is the Atma, Atma Hajaha, the second chapter shall be understood from 12th verse onwards. Bhagavan explains, we understood. Atma is Ajaha, Nityaha, Stanuhu, Shashvataha, Achalaha. Understood. Atma is absolutely eternal, indestructible. Therefore, Atma has no birth and death. But still there is something called death, birth and death happen. We are going to understand here. So because of this ignorance alone, a person has the mind. How long the internal instrument called mind, antahkaranam, internal instrument of knowledge called manaha, having these different aspects of buddhi, chitta, mahankara, this manaha, how long does it survive? How long can there be the erroneous perception of the self? Only as long as the self-ignorance is. So as long as the self-ignorance is there, so long will the mind survive. Mind cannot be destroyed at all. The mind will go, come back, will go and come back, will go and come back. You say mind go, will go and come back. Mind is by itself an inert, subtle material product. How can mind go and come back? It means mind must be conscious and love. Mind must have life. What is that which lends life to the mind? Consciousness and sentience to the mind. It is the manifestation of consciousness. Every time the mind leaves the physical body, what goes along with the mind is the manifestation of consciousness, not the consciousness. Consciousness cannot move, but the manifestation of consciousness, reflection of consciousness alone goes along with the manifesting medium, the mind. So we can say the conscious mind travels. Conscious mind has a journey. It moves from one mother's womb to another mother's womb. So it goes along with it, all subtle powers go. We understand this. So how does it happen? We're going to see here. Therefore, definitely, when we talk about a jiva going from one mother's womb to another mother's womb, again, having birth after death continuously, having many births and having many deaths, definitely it is about an individual being where individual being with self-ignorance. An ajnani purushaha. An ajnani purushaha. The person, the self-ignorant person alone can travel, can have the mind, can have sanchita karma, can have parabdha karma, agami karma. In keeping with the karma, next to parabdha karma, again, rebirth also is possible. Who has karma? The birth is determined by karma. What is the immediate cause of the birth, rebirth? Immediate cause of the rebirth is the karma. Karma means karma phalam. Prarabdha karma phalam is the immediate cause of the birth. Janmanaha sakshat karanam prarabdha karma phalam. And what is the cause of the prarabdha karma, karma phalam? Of course, the cause, what causes the result of action, for the cause is the action. Action. And why does a person perform action? What impels the, what is the cause of the action? Karmanaha karanam kim. What the immediate cause of an action? This is desires. Kama. Desire impels a person to perform an action. Action produces the result. And the result alone becomes accumulated sanchita karma. And the part of sanchita karma as part of the karma determines the birth. Okay. Now, what causes the desire? Desire is caused by the fundamental problem. What is the fundamental problem? It is not one individual's problem. It's a common human universal fundamental problem. Common human fundamental problem. Universal problem. It is called fundamental problem of sense of inadequacy centered on I is the cause. I'm inadequate. That wrong notion. A person has. The wrong notion a person has is caused by the fundamental problem. It is this notion. So, contribute for what? That, for the desire. Fundamental desire of wanting to live long happily, wanting to be full. Wanting to be free from sense of inadequacy. Therefore, inadequacy contributes for the rising of desire. Sense of inadequacy is centered on I. And this fundamental problem is caused by erroneous, the superimposition of limitations of anatma upon the atma. It's called adhyaropa. Adhyaropa is caused by, don't think I'm repeating what you already know. It is very important to remember. Adhyaropa is caused by what? Adhyaropa is caused by adhyasa, erroneous self-perception. Mistaking the anatma, body, mind, and complex for the self. And this erroneous self-perception is because of wrong identity. That is because one does not know. Erroneous self-perception is because one does not know what one's own self is. One does not know what one's own self is. One does not know what I am. What exactly one's own self is. This not knowing what I am is because of ignorance that one does not know, one does not know one's own self. There's ignorance of not knowing one's own self, because therefore one continues to be ignorant of one's own self. And because of this Atma Jnanam, not knowing what one's own self is, not knowing what I am, is erroneous self-perception, adhyasaha. So ajnanam is the immediate cause of adhyasaha. Adhyasa is the immediate cause of adhyaropa. Adhyaropa is the immediate cause of fundamental problem. And fundamental problem of sense of inadequacy, sense of insecurity, being centered on I, is the cause for the fundamental desire of wanting to live long, happily. And the fundamental desire alone crops up in many fold ways as many desires. And desires impel a person. Desire impel a person to act. And the action produces result. And result contributes for the death. Sorry, contributes for the birth, not death, death, birth. So prarabdha karma phalam is the immediate cause of the punarjanma. So Shankaracharya reduces all these sakshat karanam, mula karanam. So what is the sakshat karanam? Direct, immediate cause of the, immediate cause of the rebirth is karma, prarabdha karma phalam. And the root cause of the punarbirth, rebirth is, punarjanma is ajnanam. So ignorance is the root, ignorance of one's own self is the root cause of rebirth. And the immediate cause of the rebirth is prarabdha karma phalam. And in between we have so many, there's a sopana. There's a step, how one contributes for the other. Not directly. Samipa karanam and mula karanam. Sakshat karanam, mula karanam. We should know this. Therefore, there's no way of freeing oneself from the prarabdha karma palam. The prarabdha karma palam has to be exhausted. So to exhaust the prarabdha karma palam alone, every individual is born again. One has to be born to exhaust what all results of actions one has in one's account, which is ready for fructification. So the birth will be determined by the karma one has in one's account, the parentage, the background, cultural background, the situation where a person is born, the place, the time, the parentage, everything is determined by karma palam, because the person's birth must be in such a way that the person must be able to exhaust what the person has in store. So the punarjanma is determined by parabdha karma palam. So for a person, for individual to have the parabdha karma palam, definitely a person has sanchita karma palani also. So sanchita karma phalam is there. The person must have sanchita karma phalam. Big bundle of sanchita karma. We do not know what all we have in store in sanchitam. And sanchitam alone, a small portion of sanchitam alone, becomes ready for fructification. Therefore, to exhaust that given portion of sanchitam called prarabdha, a person assumes the body and is born again. With an exact appropriate parentage, an appropriate place, an appropriate, with appropriate cultural background. So once being born in his world, the person will be accumulating again agami karma phalam also helplessly, choicelessly. So when you say the person has his sanchita karma phalam and he is born to exhaust the parabdha karma phalam, and he'll be accumulating agami karma phalam also. When you say, definitely, the person must have strong doership and enjoyership. Kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam. And to have strong doership and enjoyership, that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Definitely one must have what? Strong identity with the anatma, body, mind and complex also. As an ajnani, this is how a person's life begins. So, who is discussed here in this verse is definitely an ignorant person. With this understanding, let us read the mantra. Saptamaha mantraha. Krishna Yajurvediye Kathopanishadi Dvitiyodhyaye Dvitiya Valyam Saptamaha mantraha. Yo nimanye prapadyante sharirattvaya dehinaha. Yo nimanye prapadyante sharirattvaya dehinaha. Stanumanyeno sayanti yatha karma yatha shrutam. Stanumanyeno sayanti yatha karma yatha shrutam. So Lord Imam makes it clear for Yachiketa. Dehinaha. Dehinaha means all the living beings which are endowed with the body are said to be Dehinaha. But here specifically we take human beings who are endowed with the physical body or Dehinaha. So all the ignorant jivas who are endowed with the physical bodies are said to be dehinaha. So dehaha yesham santi te dehinaha. Dehin nakaranta pullinga shabdaha. Dehaha yasya asti saha dehin. Nominative case dehi dehinau dehinaha. Nakaranta pullinga shabda. So dehinaha, the jiva, individual jivas endowed with the bodies are said to be dehinaha. So dehinaha, anye dehinaha. Anye means what? Other. Anye dehinaha means other. Others should be taken as what? Other than jnanis, all ignorant, okay? Anye, the word anye, which means other, distinguishes the ignorant jivas. Mostly all the individual jivas endowed with the body, mansions, complex are said to be dehinaha here. Ignorant jivas. So ignorant dehis, jivas, yonim prapadyante. Padyate means reach. Prapadyate means again reach or attain. Attain here implies what? Enter. So these all the individual beings, individual jivas endowed with the body, mind, sense complex are jivas. And these jivas, when the death happens, leave the physical body. Death happens, what happens? Already explained to you, departure of the conscious mind, departure of the mind with the manifestation of consciousness along with the 10 powers and pranas is said to be death of the body, fall of the body. And what happens to physical body, we all know very well, body becomes disintegrated. And body becomes disintegrated means body being the modified form of the 5 elements. Each element joins its own respective element. Space in the body joins the space. Earth element, all minerals join the earth, air joins the air, heat in the body joins the fire, So rest, the five, the physical body, the form collapses completely and all the elements go back to their respective elements. So physical body will continue to remain in the form of elements. Sometimes Swamiji used to say, they become manure. When they become reduced to ashes, become manure for plants, and they'll become later on vegetables, and they become food for other animals also. It means they'll continue to remain in the form of elements. They become one with the elements. That's why death is called panchatva praptihi. Panchatva praptihi means what? Body becoming disintegrated. And each element of the body joining its own respective element is said to be panchatva praptihi. Five attaining its fiveness. Okay. Becoming, joining its respective element is panchatva praptihi, death. This is what happens to the physical body, which means physical body does not become destroyed totally. It completely, it remains, it goes back to its original source, elements. Now, what happens to the subtle body? The sukshma shariram, entire sukshma shariram consisting of the 15 aspects, antahkaranam, jnanendriyani, karmendriyani, panchapranaha, this leaves. This departure of sukshma from the sthulam is said to be death. It is when sukshma leaves, means sukshma is conscious because of the blessing of the manifestation of consciousness. And that every mind with the manifestation of consciousness leaves. And here the manifestation of consciousness is physically inseparable from the manifesting medium, the mind. It's exactly like reflection is inseparable from the reflecting medium. The reflection of the sun from the reflecting medium, water or any transparent thing, is what? Inseparable. Reflection is inseparable from the reflecting medium. So manifestation is inseparable from the manifesting medium. Therefore, the movement of the mind is also what? The movement of the manifestation. But still, even though the manifestation is inseparable from the manifesting medium, manifestation is distinct from, definitely distinct from the manifesting medium. That we do not understand initially when there's ignorance. Okay. So here, these dehinaha, the individual jivas, when you say dehinaha, the manifestation of consciousness identified with the mind. Dehi jivaha, anya jivaha, prapadyante means attain, reach, enter. What yonim? Yonim prapadyante. Yonihi means womb. They enter into the womb. What is the purpose of this conscious mind entering into the womb? You say conscious mind, I'm saying it is not me, it is not just the mind. It is not mere manifestation of consciousness. It is the conscious mind enters into the womb. Anye dehinaha yonim prapadyante. The entry, when it enters into the womb, then it becomes purpose. What is the purpose? Kimartham yonim prapadyante dehinaha. What is the purpose of the jivas entering into the womb? Of the womb of another mother. Of course, every jiva individually, when I say dehinaha, respective wombs, that's the meaning. ஷரீரத்வாய. ஷரீரத்வம் மீன்ஸ் வாட்? ஷரீரம், ஷரீராய இட் குட் ஹவ் பீன் செட் ஃபார் அ பாடி. ஷரீரத்வாய மீன்ஸ் ஃபார் ஹேவிங் தி ஸ்டேட், ஃபார் ஹேவிங் தி ஸ்டேட்டஸ் ஆஃப் ஹேவிங் தி பாடி, ஃபார் தி பர்பஸ் ஆஃப் ஹேவிங் தி பாடி, ஃபார் தி பர்பஸ் ஆஃப் ஹேவிங் தி பாடி. ஷரீரத்வாய், ஷரீரம் பாடி, ஷரீரத்வம் ஹேவிங் தி பாடி. ஃபார் தி பர்பஸ் ஆஃப் ஹேவிங் தி பாடி, அஸ்யூமிங் தி பாடி, த இண்டிவிஜுவல் ஜீவாஸ் என்டர் இன் டு தி வூம், ஆர்டைன்ட் வூம்ஸ். தேர் இஸ் நோ சாய்ஸ், நோ ஜீவா கேன் சூஸ், ஸோ திஸ் இஸ் தி வூம் ஐ வாண்ட். தேர் இஸ் நோ சாய்ஸ், தேர் இஸ் ஆல்ரெடி ப்ரீ டிட்டர்மின்ட் வூம்ப், ப்ரீ டெஸ்டின்ட் வூம்ப் ஃபார் எவ்ரி ஜீவா. And that predestined womb is in keeping with the punya papams jiva has, the paradha karma phalam, in keeping with all the interests, desires, the samskaras, the mental refinement, and the subtle unresolved desires. And exposure the jiva had in the previous life, and the actions the jivas performed in the previous lives, their interests, and all samskaras they acquired through their actions in the life, and the refinement of the individual, mental refinement, in keeping with all of them, ஜீவாஸ் என்டர் தேர் ப்ரீ டெஸ்டின்ட் ப்ரீ டிட்டர்மின்ட் வூம்ப் ஃபார் தி பர்பஸ் ஆஃப் அஸ்யூமிங் அ பாடி. ஸோ தேஹினஹ ஷரீரத்வாய யோனிம் பிரபத்யந்தே. அன்யே ஸ்தானம் அனுசையந்தி. அகெய்ன் த க்வெஸ்சன் கம்ஸ், அன்யே ஸ்தானம் அனுசையந்தி. சோ யதா கர்ம யதாஸ்ருதம், சோ அன்யே அகெய்ன் அன்யே தேஹினஹ they attain, the same jivas attain that womb, attain that womb in keeping with what? In keeping with their punya papams, we know already. Is sthanam, so some jivas enter into the wombs of living beings, of animals or human beings. Sometimes they even assume the deva shariram, the celestial form, celestial body, or a human body, an animal body. They assume the which body a jiva should, which the womb of which body, which being the jiva should enter, that is predetermined by one's paradha karma palam. One samskara one has. But here some beings, because of their papa karmas, then assume not even the animal shariram, the animal body of inferior caliber, they assume even the immobile being's body. Sthanuhu means what? Unmoving. The unmoving being is, immobile being is plant. So, sthavara, sthavara jantuhu bhavati. Sthanam assumes the plant body. Okay, now finally Upanishad says, this assumption of a body entering into the womb of a given living being, a celestial being or a human being or animal, mobile living being, animal body or a plant body, or even a worm, insect, bird, any body. The assumption of a body, okay, yatha karma yatha shrutam, exactly in keeping with punya papams a person has acquired in one's lifetime. In keeping with the punya papams one has in one's account. In parabdha karma palam, which is ready for fructification. Yatha karma. A person might have performed the laukika karmani or vaidika karmani. A person must have involved himself in the religious activities such as worship, prayer, etc. A person would involve himself in definitely in worldly activities, mundane activities for one's own. As person vartha kamas. So, anyway, the person must involve himself in all forms of activities. And in keeping with those activities, how he performed in conformity with dharma, or he transgressed dharma, giving all that, a person would have accumulated punya papams. So whatever punya papams he has in parabdha, accordingly, he assumes the, he enters into the womb of a given being, assumes the body. So, yatha shrutam, in keeping with what all the person has heard, what all the samskaras the person has accumulated in because of his exposure to the teaching, and how, what all the person did to meditate, in keeping with the meditative life a person lived. The shrutam here stands for the person's meditative life, implies how consciously a person lived his life in keeping with the, his exposure to the teaching. How consciously a person lived. So living one's life consciously implies what? Being meditative also. Living one's life consciously in keeping what all one has exposed to the teaching. How much one has been exposed to the teaching. When one has heard. How a person lived a meditative life. In keeping with all that, yatha karma, yatha shrutam. So otherwise, what all meditations a person would have practiced as instructed in the Shastra. In keeping with that, one would have accumulated one's punya papams. One's mental refinement also will be in keeping with the way of life of a person followed in life. In keeping with that, one's mental refinement will be. So in keeping with mental refinement, these dehinaha assume the yoni of different beings, and some even assume the plant, reach the plant yoni, assuming the plant body. Anye sthanam anusayanti. So this is the authentic source of information that definitely jiva survives death and there is rebirth. Life is not a straight line having beginning point, end point. This mantra rejects the linear thinking. Life is a beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths. And in between the birth and death, every individual goes through the experience of pairs of opposites, in keeping with the proportion of punya pama one has in one's life. And this life of transmigration, moving from one mother's womb to another mother's womb, life after life, death after death, is inevitable, unavoidable for any being until one attains jnanam, until one resolves, until one has one's sukshma resolved. And to have the sukshma resolved, one need not do anything other than jnanam. One has to attain jnanam. Only by correcting the error in the perception of the self, the error caused problems can be resolved. That is how one can discover freedom from the hold of mind. That is how one can have the mind resolved for good. Only when the mind becomes resolved for good, the suksha becomes resolved for good, assuming another body is not required, it is not possible. Until then, the samsara will be there. That's why ajnanam samsarasya mula karanam, though karma is the immediate cause of samsara. This is how the every jiva continues one's life. That's why we are always reminded in this life. This life which you are living now is a very, very precious life. Every minute in this life, every fraction of our lifetime is very precious. So whatever we do, what we think, what we do, how we engage ourselves in, what we are engaging ourselves in, all that very, very important, very precious span of life. This span of life, we do not know when we'll keep our buckets. This very, very precious span of life, we can't afford to waste our time. And how we do things, how we think, what we do, how conscious we are of dharma, how prayerful we are to Bhagavan, how thankful we are to Bhagavan, how kind we are, how we are conscious of living a life of values are very important, because everything is counted. Everything adds to our better entry into the better yoni. It's very important for us to enter the better yoni. Even to attain jnanam and moksha here itself, finish, come on, no need to enter into any yoni. To avoid entering into any other yoni, we have to live this life very carefully. We have to see this time is so precious. We can avoid entry into any other yoni. Even helplessly we have to enter also, at least we can enter a better yoni where we can pick up the thread from where we leave. So we can really, we can progressive if we live our life consciously. Otherwise, there's possibility of losing this, wasting this precious span of life. Okay, let us read the Bhashyam now. So what is, how do you understand? Anye dehinaha shariratvaya yonim prapadyante. Anye sthanam anusayanti. See, samyanti, whenever anuswara is followed by yakara, it becomes nasalized. Therefore what? Anusayanti. Katham anusayanti, katham prapadyante. Yatha karma, yatha shrutam. So in keeping with what all samskaras a person has, what all punya papam the person has, in keeping what all actions a person would have performed in his life, how he or she would have been conscious of being worshipful and prayerful in life, in keeping with all that, mental refinement, the next birth happens. So, janma katham bhavati, yatha prarabdham karma, yatha jivitam, so yatha karma yatha shrutam, tatha janma bhavati. That's how the life becomes ordained by Bhagavan in the form of universal, natural, moral, law and order. Suppose the person attained jnanam, then this mantra is not relevant. Why? Jnani is the one who has completely different perspective of the self and the world. For him, aham brahma asmi, sarvam kalvidam brahma, all it is only brahma. For person such a vision, there is no janma, there is no maranam, there is no birth, there is no death, there is no sanchita karma, there is no agami karma. He would have finished his parabdha karma also. No doership, no enjoyership. Therefore, all the emotions, the problems, mental cobwebs caused by ignorance and the erroneous self-perception would have become resolved for good. Sukshma becomes resolved for good. Therefore, the person body falls apart, the jnani remains as Brahma. There is no punajanma for a jnani. Okay, with this understanding, I sent into the Bhashyam. Yonim. The first word, Yonim, Shankara Bhagavatpada writes, explains, Yoni Dwaram. Dwaram means entrance, entrance of the womb. So, jivas enter into the wombs for the purpose of assuming a body. Means, jivas enter into the entrance of the womb. That's the meaning. What does it mean? Shukra bija samanvitaha santaha. Jivas being endowed, santaha being, anvitaha endowed, being endowed with what? Being endowed with shukra and bija. Shukra means male sperm, bija means female ovum. Why? Because the jivas already remain in father's body, in the form of sperm. Already they've assumed the inexplicably subtlest form, which cannot be even diagnosed, seen through microscopes. But it is there. Inexplicably subtlest, tiniest, subtlest form that we understood in some other Upanishads. Sometimes people must be feeling bored with sometimes. There's a lot of discussion on this. How the food eaten by Annarasenaiva Bhutva. No, we learned, we also understood in other Upanishads, Bhashyams. The food eaten by parents. So the food essence of the parents alone, first the shukram becomes formed. And already the jiva assumes the form in the father's body itself, a sperm. Then joining with the bijam, the sperm. And that's how it enters into the mother's womb. It is said here, yonim, yoni dwaram, shukra jiva samanvitaha santaha. So being endowed with this full-fledged form of the combination of this sperm and ovum and kechit, anye kechit, anye means kechit, some jeep, some anye literally means other, but Shankaracharya writes, anye should be taken as kechit, some jivas. Who are they? Definitely avidyavantaha. Vidyavan purushaha. A jnani cannot assume a body. ஒன்லி அவித்யாவன் அவித்யாவான் அவித்யாவந்தௌ அவித்யாவந்தஹ ஒன்லி இக்னரண்ட் ஜீவாஸ் இக்னரண்ட் பீப்புள் இக்னரண்ட் ஜீவாஸ் மூடாக டெல்யூடட் மைண்டட் இக்னரண்ட் ஜீவாஸ் who do not have the discriminative knowledge of Atman and Atma, Mudaha, such people alone, such beings, such jivas alone, prapadyante attain, for what? Shariratvaya. Shankar Bhagavatpada assumes that we know, he thinks that we already know the meaning of the word prapadyante. They reach, they attain, they enter. For what? Shariratvaya. What does it mean? Sharira grahanartham. Shariratvaya is equal to sharira grahanartham. For assuming a body. Or take her for having the body. Dehinaha. Dehinaha is equal to dehavantaha. See, yasya deha asti saha dehi nakaranta shabdaha, dehin. Otherwise, dehavan. Dehavan, dehavantaha. Dehi, dehavan, dehinaha, dehavantaha. Means embodied beings. Okay. Now, yonim. Yonim means what? You know, the womb. Pravishanti, yonim pravishanti. So yonim prapadyante means yonim pravishanti. They enter into the womb of another mother. From the father's body, already assuming the form of sperm of father, they enter into the mother's womb from father's body. That's why Yonidwaram he says. Then sthanam. So sthanuhu means what? Na, okay, that which does not move is sthanam. So sthanam means what? Vrikshadi sthavarabhavam. Sthavarabhavam. The beings, sthavarabhava, plant forms such as tree, etc. Anye, some other jivas, atyanta adhamaha. Adhamaha means, literally the word adhamaha means wicked. Adhamaha means wicked. But here, who are the wicked? Who are the wicked people? The wicked people are wrongdoers. Who are the wrongdoers? Who do not have discriminative understanding. Who do not have discriminative understanding of right and wrong, etc. People who are not predominantly sattvic, not people who are predominantly tamasic. People who are overpowered by ignorance. People who are overpowered by ignorance. For predominantly tamasic in nature, such people are atyanta adhamaha because they involve themselves only in papa karma. They accumulate only papam. As a result of accumulating only papam mostly, then somehow when the paradha gets exhausted, what happens? Maranam prapya. And for this dushtaha, the wicked people who are predominantly tamasic in nature, thereby whose behavior and lifestyle also is completely overpowered by their ignorance, who involve themselves only in papa karma, such people, when their part of the karma gets exhausted, they also leave the physical body, maranam prapya. Then what do you do? Attain the death? What? Having attained death, what happened? What do they do? Anusayanti, anugachanti. Anusayanti means anugachanti. They also continue. What do? They Stanum anugachanti. Mean they assume the plant body, immobile living beings body. Plant yoni, they enter into the plant yoni. They assume the plant body, that's the meaning. So now we can, that is why we need not complain. That is, we have to just bow to the parentage ordained by Bhagavan. Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava. We bow to our mother and father. Whoever is there as our mother and father, doesn't matter however they are, still they gave birth to you. So you have to bow to them, irrespective of how much love and affection enjoyed from them, whether they didn't give any love at all also. I don't think any mother and father would have rejected. Still, if at all, some papa karma again, such parentage. Still, we have to have reverence for our parents because they gave you this body, human body. Still, we have to be respectful. We have to look after them. We have to take care of them to the extent possible. Anyway, that's a different thing. Let's come back to the class now. So, atyantadamaha maranam prapya anusanyanti means anugachanti. So such atyantadamaha, the people of cruel, wicked activities who are predominantly tamasic, whose behavior is in keeping with tamasic nature, as a result of the papa karmas, they do not deserve any good yonis. So they assume the plant body. Okay. Next. Yatha karma. So we should not ask the parents, why did you? Sometimes people, when they get, I do know, some people do come and tell me, why did you give birth to me? You are responsible for me to come into the world. Don't blame them. Okay. They are not responsible. They partially, but actually you were born through them, not of them. Therefore, they're not responsible also. Parents also should know this. Children are not born of us, only born through us. Every child comes as an individual with one's own background, one's own parabdha karma palam, one's own already set mind. That's why we all have to know our duties and do our duties towards children. And children also should not blame parents that they were responsible. That's not true. Your karma, you are born, not because of their, they are not responsible. They can do the duty as parents towards a child. That you can demand. But you cannot blame them for being responsible for your birth. Okay. Yatha karma. Yad. Yasya karma. Tad. Yatha karma. Yatha karma means what? Shankaracharya explains. Yatha karma means in keeping with punya papam. Karma here means karma palam. Yatha prarabdha karma palam asti. Tatha. In keeping with the punyams and papams a person has occurred in one's life, by his knowingly or unknowingly, consciously performed activities. So, yad yasya karma, tad yatha karma. Whatever a karma, whatever punya papam a person has occurred in one's life as a result of his actions, in keeping with that karma. So, yaihi yadrusham karma iha janmani kritam. By whoever, whatever karma, whatever type of karma, whatever kind of karma has been performed in this world, by whoever, whatever kind of karma, type of karma, iha janmani kritam, has been performed in this life. Tadvashena, in keeping with that karma alone, the birth becomes determined. Later birth becomes determined. Iti etat, this is the fact. Tathacha. And also, not only one's performance of actions alone, and also not only the accumulation of punya papams through the performance of rituals or through the form of activities, physical activities. The physical means, and also yathashuddham. So in keeping with one's exposure to the teaching, in keeping with one's meditative life, in keeping with one's worshipfulness and prayerfulness, also yadrusham cha, whatever type of vijnanam uparjitam. Here the word vijnanam means the refinement. Whatever mental refinement that has been acquired. The mental refinement does not happen overnight, okay? One must consciously, thoughtfully, one must have been given to certain activities. The two righteous activities, prayers, worship, and being thoughtful of dharma, etc. Vijnanam here does not mean knowledge. It means the mental refinement. Mental refinement, samskrita manaha. The mental refinement, the samskaras, the good samskaras. Okay, bad samskaras also is there, you know that. So here samskara, here vijnanam, the mental refinement, or whatever, what are the samskara you have, whatever you have done, you will have that samskara only. If you did all wrong things, bad things, samskara also will be that. If you have done all good things, you have some good samskaras also. The samskara here, in keeping with the karma, what samskara person has. Sometimes we say, we see the people's behavior and we can make out. We don't say anything negatively of the people. We don't judge people. Others are not supposed to judge. We don't judge good or bad, right or wrong. The person's behavior is something means what? We can understand samskara the person has. The external behavior sometimes become an expression of one samskara also. Okay, so good or bad samskaras a person really has. Sometimes the refinement also is good samskara. Unrefined nature also is what? Very uncivilized behavior also is what? Samskara. All these samskaras are meant with the word vijnanam. So, yadrusham cha vijnanam uparjitam. Whatever the samskaras, the unrefinement or the refinement, whatever the person has earned, whatever has been earned, uparjitam, has been earned, because throughout life of how a person lives, that contributes for the accumulation of samskara, such as uparjitam. Tadanurupameva, in keeping with that, matching with the samskaras a person has, anurupameva, shariram prapadyante, a person assumes a body, attains a body. Ityartha. And here Shankaracharya presents a quotation from Aitreya Aranyakam, a mantra, a second mantra, the third section of second chapter of Aitreya Aranyakam is given here by Shankara Bhagavatpada. Is yatha prajna hi sambhavaha iti shrutyantarat. Shrutyantaram means what? Another shruti. Always one shruti statement is supported by another shruti mantra. Another shruti is presented in support of the shruti presented here. The Upanishad mantra here. யதா பிரஜ்ஞி சம்பவாஹா. சோ சம்பவஹா மீன்ஸ் லிட்டரி மீன்ஸ் ஹேப்பனிங் இன்சிடென்ட், பட் ஹியர் சம்பவஹா ஹி மீன்ஸ் தி பர்த். யதா பிரஜ்ஞா ஹி சம்பவஹா. சோ சம்பவஹா மீன்ஸ் வாட்? பீங் பார்ன், கம்மிங் இன் டு எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ஸ். சோ பீங் பார்ன் அகெய்ன், coming into existence again, being born again, rebirth, sambhavaha, the rebirths are in keeping with samskara, subtle samskaras a person has stored in his subconscious mind. By way of through his lifestyle, through his activities. So that is why we always say, we have to fill our subconscious with good samskaras. What should we do now? Subconscious must be filled with good samskaras. The bad should be pushed out. So that will have better yoni. So do this. That's why prayers, chanting. Understand now? We have to validate. Never ever think chanting is a waste of time. With the focused attention. The worst thing is we do chant, but attention goes all over. With the focused attention, chanting, shlokas, reciting, mantras. Knowing the meanings, without knowing the meanings also, still is a punya karma. But knowing the mantras will be very good. Knowing, so chanting, reciting, consciously involving oneself in pujas, consciously being thankful, and being conscious of every small thing we are doing in life. So all these things will contribute for good samskaras. That's why living a life of the karma yoga, as Pujya Swamiji used to say, Chakkani Raja Margamu. It's a beautiful, comfortable royal path laid in front of us. If you follow this life karma yoga, then you will be acquiring only good samskaras. Because in living life karma yoga, Bhagavan is never forgotten. Bhagavan fills one's life. Therefore, you're conscious of dharma. The conscious of, you're very thankful to Bhagavan for all that you're blessed with. Worshipful, you're prayerful, you're conscious of values, and therefore that when your life expresses the commitment to Bhagavan also, then what happens? Good samskaras will be there. That's why being given to the learning, even being given to the disciplines, study, also contributes for samskaras. The learning, the musical instruments, learning music, involving oneself in fine arts. Any artwork, when you involve yourself, your mind will be totally grabbed. You cannot place your mind somewhere feeling jealous of somebody you can't do the drawing or painting. Now, given to this, the drawing or painting, you can't think of somebody who's, and then you can't do the work. When you're learning music, you can't do that. So in learning music, in learning dance, in learning any fine art, drawing, painting, all the fine art, difficult fine art, your mind is totally given. That time, even if you have limitations, unwanted thoughts will not be there. That's why they're all called disciplines. They help you develop good samskaras. That's why they are called fine arts. Beautiful. So, having the good samskaras itself is not the goal for us. Of course, we have to have good samskaras, so that we'll be having, through developing good samskaras, our growth is taken care of, which should culminate in the vision of the truth. Therefore, the assumption of a body is not our choice. It's ordained, preordained, predestined by Bhagavan, him of order, in keeping with the samskaras we have, in keeping with the punya papas we have in our account. So nobody should be blamed for our being here in this world. If you are blaming, means you are accumulating more papam. Understand? You must be just thankful to parents for bringing it, for having given the body to you. Don't blame anybody for anything. Okay, this is the meaning. We will go to the next mantra. So in this next mantra, now, again, Yamadhar Maharaja comes back to the actual teaching which Nachiketas wanted. All that he wanted was the jnanam. So he's going to teach here. Yat pratijnatam guhyam brahma vakshyami iti tadaham. Yat pratijnatam. Pratijnatam means promised. See, pratijna is a noun. Pratijanati. Pratijanati. When you see, janati means knows. Jna is the dhatu. Janati means knows. Jnanam, knowledge. So, vijanati also knows. When you put this prefix prati, pratijanati means what? Promises. Meaning changes. The prefix prati changes the meaning. Janati, vijanati. You know that. But pratijanati means promises. So, pratijna, promise. Pratijna, promise. Pratijnatam promised participle. Pratijna noun, promise. Pratijnatam promised. Yet pratijnatam, that which has been promised before to Nachiketas by Lord Yama. What was the promise given to him? What was promised by Lord Yama? That he would impart the knowledge of Brahma. He has been doing it. He would unfold the nature of the reality. That was the promise. Guhyam Brahma. The subtlest reality. Guhyam Brahma. Vakshyami iti. That what was promised earlier by Lord Yama, that he would teach, unfold nature of the reality, tad aha, that he did here. He said, means Lord Yama again revealed the nature of the reality in this following mantra. What is the word Brahma mean here? We know very well, Brahma is simply a word. This word does not denote directly the reality. Nachiketas wanted to know the truth of the universe, the reality of the universe, which is reality of every being, reality of one's own self. That reality alone is implied by the term Brahma in terms of its nature of infinitude or limitlessness. And there's no subtler reality, nothing subtler than that reality. Nothing subtler than the reality. There's no greater secret than Brahman also. There's no greater secret than Brahma, because once you discover what you are, thereby, when the truth of what the universe is also becomes discovered, there's no greater accomplishment. Therefore, here, Guhyam Brahma Vakshyami iti, yat pratijnatam, I shall teach you. I shall reveal, I shall teach you the reality, Brahma. Thus, whatever was promised before, tadaha, that now he discussed in this following mantra. Yaha, yeshaha, how is this reality Brahma? Where is the reality Brahma available for recognition? He says here. Yaha, yeshaha, supteshu jagarti, kamam kamam purusho nirmimanaha, tadeva shukram tad brahma, tadeva amritam uchyate, tasmin lokashitaha, sarve tadu, tasmin lokashita sarve, tadu na, tadu not yeti kaschana, yetad vaitadu. Let us see the mantra again. Yayesha supteshu jagarti, kamam kamam purusho nirmimanaha. Yayesha supteshu jagarti, kamam kamam purusho nirmimanaha. Tadeva shukram tad brahma, tadeva amrutam uchyate. Tadeva shukram tad brahma, tadeva amrutam uchyate. Tasmin lokashita sarve, tadu natyeti kaschana, etadvaitat. Okay. So here, we have to supply some words to get the complete meaning of the words in this mantra. First of all, understand the verb here, jagarti. See, jagarti. Jagarti is a verb here. Jagarti means what? Keeps awake. Is awake. Is awake. Keeps awake. Means what? Never sleeps. There's no such a thing called sleep on the part of the reality. On the part of the Atma. Brahma does not sleep. Reality does not sleep. Reality is ever awake. Means what? Reality ever of the nature of knowing. Reality implied by the term Brahma, obtaining as the self of every being, is ever of the nature of knowing. Ever of the nature of being conscious. Ever of the nature of being aware. Therefore, he said he is ever awake. Jagarti. Where is this Brahma ever awake? Supteshu. Supteshu. Here, that the two pronouns, relative pronoun yaha and yeshaha is another pronoun. Third person singular pronoun yeshaha. This. Yaha means he who, the one who, relative pronoun. So yaha yeshaha jagarti. That absolute reality Paramatma, here as this nearest self, every truth of I, that Atma, the Paramatma, Parambrahma is Paramatma. Why am I using Paramatma? Because Yaha Purusha, masculine gender, masculine pronoun is used. Yaha Paramatma Yeshaha, that Paramatma, the truth of the whole Jagat, is here as the nearest self, as the truth of I, that Paramatma is ever awake. Paramatma is ever awake. Where? Supteshu. In all the, supta means slept. Slept. Supteshu. Here supta means slept. So here, what is that which is slept here? the all the senses. So teshu manasi indriyeshu. Mind is an instrument. In all the instruments, in all the instruments mean what? In the internal instrument of knowledge, external instruments of knowledge, in all these instruments of knowledge, internal and external, six of them, in all the instruments which are asleep, in all the instruments of knowledge which are asleep, this Atma is ever awake. Paramatma, obtaining as the nearest self, is ever awake. Yaha yeshaha suktesha jagrati. So here, sukta means, what does it mean? This, all the said organs, all these senses become functional, become non-functional. Become functional, become non-functional. And they are of the nature of inertness also. Therefore, they are said to be asleep. So in all these senses which are asleep, Paramatma is ever awake. And what does the Paramatma do here? Yaha yeshaha purushaha supteshu jagrati. Why is it Paramatma? The word purusha is also used in the same mantra. You all know the meaning very well. Purushaha 1008 times has been already explained. Sarvam pureti iti purusha, pure ushati iti purushaha. He knows it very well. So this is all pervasive reality obtaining in every being as the innermost essence, that Paramatma is ever awake in all the senses which are asleep. So, sarveshu sukteshu karaneshu yaha yeshaha purushaha jagarti. That purusha, kamam nirmimanaha. Kamam nirmimanaha. See, nirmimanaha, again, is the dhatu. Mati, nirmati is the verb. The same verb, we can say nirmimite. Nirmimite means constructs. Literal meaning is constructs. Nirmanam, construction, constructing. So nirmimanaha, constructing. So here you can say projecting, throwing up, creating, establishing. All these are the meanings. So nirmimanaha, projecting, constructing. Literal means constructing. So shana chanda shabda, nirmimite projects, constructs, establishes. Nirmimanaha, this param purusha is constructing, purusha is projecting. Projecting what? Kamam. Here the word kamaha literally means desire. But here the object of desire is kamaha. So kamam two times it is mentioned, therefore not one given object, varieties of objects. Various objects. Kamam nirmimite. So here specifically, the dream experience is taken for analysis. So here, when do these senses are asleep? When do the senses remain asleep? When are the senses asleep? When do the senses remain asleep? In dream state, the dream state is taken for analysis. Of course, every state of experience, Atma is ever awake in all three states of experience, in all three states of mind. Atma is ever awake as the witness, very clear. But specifically, dream experience is analyzed first. In dream, mind is partially functional, partially non-functional, partially active, partially passive. In waking, the waking state, mind is totally active, fully functional, which means mind functions along with the sense powers. All the sense powers also are functional. The mind is fully functional. Sense powers also functional. Therefore, the perception of the external world is possible. Knowledge of the external world also is possible. Therefore, then we call it a waking state. In deep sleep state, mind is totally non-functional, totally passive. Therefore, all the sense powers also, without being supported by the mind, they remain totally resolved. Mind is totally non-functional. All the sense powers also remain non-functional. Therefore, the no world is experienced in deep sleep state. Whereas in dream state, what happens? Mind is neither totally passive, nor is totally active. Mind is neither totally functional, nor is it totally non-functional. Mind is functional, but mind alone is functional. Then sense powers remain resolved. All the senses remain resolved. Senses are non-functional. Then mind only to project, only to bring the gross universe into manifestation, mind needs to be totally functional. That mind needs to function along with the sense organs. But in dream state, what happens to have the dream experience? Mind alone is functional. Mind doesn't function along with the sense powers. Therefore, mind is said to be partially functional. The mind is partially functional. Mind alone is functional without the sense powers. Sense powers remain as resolved. That's why supteshu karaneshu. Sense powers remain resolved. Then what happens then? This Purushaha, Paramatma, who's there as the nearest self, Nirmimanaha Asti, is projecting varieties of objects. And then there is no distinction between the mind then does not function as the instrument of knowledge. Mind becomes the objects of knowledge. In dream state, mind is not an instrument of knowledge. Mind is, of course, mind is instrument of knowledge, but mind itself becomes an object of knowledge also. In the waking state, mind serves as an internal instrument of knowledge. Through the external instruments of logical senses, brings this object of knowledge called world into manifestation. Whereas here, the mind itself becomes what? The object of knowledge. So the whole world experienced in dream, the world of objects experienced in the dream is what? Nothing but mind itself. Thought projected world, Vasanamaya Prapanchaha, is dream world. Therefore it is said here, this Atma, the Brahma, the Atma, Paramatma, alone keeps awake. Now all the senses remain resolved non-functionally. And this Paramatma is projecting various objects. The mind itself is in the form of objects, and Paramatma's projecting means what? Mind itself is in the form of objects. Then how is Paramatma? Paramatma is there as the witness, Sakshi. Paramatma is there as the experiencer of the mind in the form of world of dream objects. All the dream objects experienced in the dream, all the objects experienced in the dream are thought projected objects. Objects in the form of thoughts only. Thoughts alone are in the form of objects. If you see your own body in your dream, then your body is what? Your own thought is in the form of your body. When you see buffalo in the dream, your thought, buffalo thought, you're seeing in the form of buffalo. Buffalo cognition of buffalo, not physically, you're not seeing outside. The buffalo cognition, buffalo thought, not even called, buffalo thought. Buffalo is name of a thought. The thought is name of buffalo. Thought projected buffalo. Thought projected house. Thought projected space. Thought projected time. Thought projected. All the objects, living and non-living things you're experiencing in dream, your travel, your journey, your talking, your joy, in every pressure and pain, depending, everything is thought projected, just the thought projected. There's no gross element involved there. Just the thought projected. The mind, the instrument of knowledge itself become an object of knowledge. And there, this Paramatma, Purushaha, is there as the experiencer of the dream. We keeping awake is there as experiencer. Experiencer means what? Is untouched by the experience. The experience itself is what? Of the dream objects. Just the witness. The experiencer is distinct from the state of mind, the thoughts, the experience. The experience itself is of what now? The experienced, the objects are from the experience itself. Now we are distinguishing the experiencer from the experienced mind. Mind is what now? Object of experience. The mind is supposed to be, which is an instrument of jnana, antahkaranam. Here is what now? Object of knowledge. Mind is an object of knowledge. Because the experiencer is experience obtaining the dream state is distinct from, different from the experienced dream world, which is nothing but mind. The dream world is nothing but mind. Therefore, the experiencer is distinct. And who is the experiencer? The experiencer is formless, abstract. The same experiencer is there in the deep sleep state also, when the no world is there. The experiencer is formless, abstract reality. It means experience distinct from the mind, the pure consciousness, pure knowledge, the formless, abstract. What is the distance between experiencer consciousness and experienced dream world, the mind in the form of dream world? There is no distance. There is no physical distance at all between the experiencer consciousness and the experienced dream world projected. There's no distance, but still experiencer is distinct from the experienced dream world in the form of mind. So, yeshaha kam nirmimanaha asti. Tadeva brahma uchyate. Mantra, tadeva brahma uchyate. That experiencer who is awake in the dream state, who is aware of the dream world, who is objectifying the dream world, who does not touched by the dream, who is not touched by the dream world, who is not associated with the dream world, who is distinct from the dream world, that experiencer, that witness of the dream world is formless, absolutely formless, abstract, subtlest. That reality, experiencer, is a formless reality, which is beginningless, endless, changeless, timeless, spatially limitless, all pervasive. It is that experiencer of the dream world. It is distinct from the dream, distinct from the mind, distinct from the mind, different from the mind, is absolutely non-material consciousness. That consciousness is implied by the term Brahma. Tadeva, that abstract reality obtaining as the experiencer alone is said to be Brahma. Tadeva Brahma uchyate. Tad shukram bhavati. Oh, when you distinguish the experiencer, you have to remember that experience is there in deep sleep state also. In deep sleep state, there's only total ignorance. There's no world. Nothing is there. And there is the experiencer, knowing the nothingness, there's a knower. That knower experiencer is the same knower experience in the dream state. That know what is the form of the knower? No form. And knowing is surupam. That knower, experiencer, who is of the nature of knowing, is implied by the term Brahma here. Therefore, what blemish that abstract reality, formless reality, obtaining as the experiencer have no blemish. That reality is free from punyam. Reality is not the doer. Reality is not that abstract formless reality consciousness implied by the term Brahma. Rahatma is not the doer, not the enjoyer. No punyam, no papam, no hanchita karma, no agami karma, no parabdha karma. No sukham, dukkham, no pairs of opposites. Absolutely pure. Shukram. The pure, that's why consciousness. We don't need to say pure consciousness. Just to distinguish the manifest art, you have used this word pure. Otherwise, consciousness is ever pure. Absolutely free from all blemishes and punya papams and sins and pairs of opposites. Shukram bhavati. Tadeva amritam uchyate. It is that abstract formless reality which is of the nature of knowing, which is there as the surup of the experiencer knower. That reality alone, implied with the term Brahman alone, is said to be what? Immortal. Amritam uchyate. Amritam uchyate. Aptly free from mortality. That reality has no birth, no death, no change, no beginning, no end. Your amritam, immortal. Uchyate. Now, it is in that reality, which is of the nature of limitlessness, the formless reality, obtaining as the experiencer witness that reality, which is immortal in that reality alone, sarve lokaha shritaha. Shritaha means what? All the worlds are dependent. All the worlds enjoy their existence in that reality only. Tasmin, in that Brahm, in that reality implied by the term Brahma, in that reality obtaining as the experiencer, the rupa of the experiencer, is distinct from the experienced dream world, distinct from the mind in of the dream world. In that reality, sarve lokaha shritaha. In that reality, all the worlds enjoy their existence, which means the worlds do not have existence outside of Brahma, other than Brahma. The Brahman is in the existence of all the worlds. All the worlds enjoy their existence in that Brahma. Tasmin neva, tasmin, in that Brahma, sarve lokaha shritaha. All the worlds enjoy their existence in that Brahma means all the worlds are dependent on that Brahma for their existence. Ocean enjoys its existence in the water means what? Ocean is dependent on water for its existence. Sarve lokaha tasmin shritaha. Kaschana tadu na atyeti. Kaschana tadu na atyeti. Na atyeti. So kaschana means someone. Na kaschana, none. Atyeti exceeds, goes beyond. Tad means the truth. So nothing goes beyond the truth. Nothing exists beyond the truth. The truth exists beyond everything. Nothing exists beyond the truth. None exists, nothing exists beyond the reality. Reality exists beyond everything. So nothing goes beyond the truth. Nothing exceeds the truth. Nothing exalts the truth, exceeds the truth. Absolutely excellent is the reality. Nothing exalts, none exalts, nothing exceeds the truth. Kaschana na atyeti, na kaschana atyeti. And what is that Brahma? Yetadvaitate, this nearest self, the formless abstract reality, obtaining as the surup of the I, the knower, the nearest self is that absolute reality, Brahma, reality implied by the term Brahma, the truth of the whole jagat. This is the meaning of the mantra. We'll see the bhasham tomorrow. So it's a big mantra. And that's why it took a long time. But anyway, it's a beautiful thing. It's all right? Okay. Any questions? Many have bunked the class today. I think they must have gone on a holiday. See, even when you do drip dishaveka prakriya, form, use the prakriya, it is very easy to objectify the external world. Because the world is always already understood as an object of knowledge. When you first start objectifying your own body, oh, When you start, we are helped to see your own body being an object of knowledge. And it is to be included in the objective world. That's a big leap for a person in understanding. Oh, I does not refer to the body. Then you move on. There are subtle things that you start understand. Oh, there are subtle aspects. You understand the subtle powers. And your objective is subtle powers. Again, it's a much bigger leap. Oh, I does not refer to the subtle powers also. And pranas you negate as anatma. Powers negate as anatma. Then you come to the emotions, come to your intellect, come to the mind. You understand this body, the whole antahkaranam, manaha, buddhi, chittam, ahankara also. The entire mind you objectify. Objectifying the mind, distinguishing the self from the mind is much, much bigger leap. Now, becoming objective towards one's own mind is a great achievement. And here the Upanishad helps us to understand that. So we'll see in next class, okay, how to be that is why learning to be objective towards one's own mind, repeatedly seeing one's own self being distinct from one's own mind is learning to be objective towards one's own mind, which is much, much, much subtler and bigger leap, one's understanding. That is when you see the reality being upstairs. Which is Brahma. So we'll see next class. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadah.